So it's a no from Scotland to independence, but far from a big one from those who voted. The campaign was long and hard fought, and at times especially bitter.
Scotland!
It's politics, so maybe we expected the fight to be dirty. Here's a look back at five of the dirty tactics employed and deployed during IndyRef 2014. So there was a lot to listen to during the campaign, but as politicians do, they gave us the kind of soundbites that mix practicality with passion.
But this isn't a rerun of a Braveheart movie. It's the biggest decision we'll ever take.
The choices of Scotland, the choices of Scotland's future, are better trusted in Scottish hands.
Do you think we would ever stand by and allow the NHS to be privatised or cut in Scotland?
Only a few who think we'd be better off if Scotland did leave the UK. That this marriage of nations has run its course and it needs a divorce.
The rhetoric was used to persuade people to a cause, and some say to panic voters to choose yes or no. But as with any relationship, some of those were going to hurt, especially when that relationship is already 300 years old. It's what you say afterwards when you stay together now that's most important.
To those in Scotland, sceptical of the constitutional promises that were made, let me say this. We have delivered on devolution under this government, and we will do so again in the next Parliament.
So actions should speak louder than words. Both sides have been accused of bully boy tactics throughout their campaigns. On the no side, Labour MP Jim Murphy took his iron brew crates around the country, with more effect in some places than others.
This referendum isn't a choice between maximum change versus no change.
This was in Edinburgh, but in Fife he suffered an egging. He later said he had received death threats and was wrongly labelled a defender of paedophiles. Ed Miliband's visit to a shopping centre in Edinburgh didn't go quite to plan. It soon turned to chaos, with Yes activists shouting some tasty language, plenty of pushing and shoving, and reports that an old man and mum with a pushchair were threatened. A minority mob maybe, but there was clearly intense intimidation. On the Yes side, Alex Salmond said he'd been subjected to road rage and death threats online, but generally, Yes events weren't attended by the same level of opposition as no events. A tap will leak and so too will governments. If that's not a phrase that's been coined, maybe it should be. It's not new that information is leaked to the media for specific purposes, but there was anger during this campaign. After RBS's intention to relocate to London if Scotland voted for independence made the news.
The Treasury officials or ministers are not allowed to brief market-sensitive information. Market-sensitive information, and it's a basic rule, cannot be released prior to the market announcement at 7 o'clock this morning. The Royal Bank of Scotland share price changed overnight.
So it ran front page, which was deemed embarrassing for the Yes campaign. Salmond demanded a formal inquiry and wrote to the PM saying, "Your Treasury has been involved in trying to destabilise financial services in Scotland, all in an attempt to frighten voters." The Cabinet Secretary Jeremy Hayward said they were just confirming contingency plans, so no solution to the dripping tap. Supporters of Scottish independence have been out in full force online, under the cloak of internet anonymity, delivering vile, personalised attacks on political opponents, and then high-profile people claiming unity. But at times it came to the fore. Like with the case of a mum of two kids, one who is severely disabled. She was used by union strategists to publicise an event and talk about the NHS, and she was said to be an ordinary person. When it was discovered she was a Labour Party activist, she got a load of online abuse from nationalists. Alex Salmond ended up getting his spokesman to apologise, who had wrongly implied she was the daughter of a former Labour Lord. But the damage had already been done. Once the internet got hold of it, there was always going to be a backlash. And again, there was trolling by supporters of both sides of the independence argument during the campaign. OK, so it happens when you least expect it, or maybe it was planned. But the announcement of the new royal baby has been criticised by some for being an establishment ploy to create good feelings and sway people's minds to thinking that they want to stay in the UK. September the 8th saw the news of a second bairn revealed, Q royal fever spreading across the UK, and the kind of headlines that read, will new royal baby save the union? Probably not, but then there is that phrase, every little helps. And when something considered big like this happens, you've got to get on the bandwagon, even if it is to politicise it. Prime Minister David Cameron said congrats, but then so did the Yes campaign boss, Salmond, who used their Scottish titles, not Duke and Duchess.